Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Man, last night was a night to remember.
It was a night that will be forever my heart.
It was a bloodbath.
We had our Patreon meetup in the
our
backyard.
Pizza party.
Yeah.
Oh, we all read the books, didn't we?
Yeah.
When I was setting it up, I was like, I feel like I'm setting up for a child's birthday party.
Yeah.
But it was really just for a bunch of adults that we were going to have our pizza party and hang out. And it was the most relaxing evening. I've laughed the hardest I've laughed in years, probably.
Did you laugh and love, too?
I laughed and loved. Yeah. Had pizza. And the thing is, I ordered the pizza in advance for this party before Horror Hound, right? I scheduled it for delivery. And it arrived. I put the day early in. Mm-hmm. So we arrived at home on Friday night.
To pizza.
All those pizzas were stacked up in front of our house.
And he helped himself to a slice before, too.
He did. He taste tested.
I tasted to make sure it was safe for everybody to eat it.
And we just served everybody a cold porch pizza.
Well, we reheated
I'm
it.
I'm kidding.
We rebaked everything.
It was lovely. I mean, Elsa has never been happier.
Yeah.
She's exhausted from all the loving she got.
Yeah.
She made best friends with Dustin.
She did. Dustin immediately took to the dogs, as I knew he would.
Yeah.
And he was down on the ground with them, loving on them, giving them treats. He brought them special treats. Talk about thoughtful.
My ladies are so spoiled anyway.
And we got so many snacks. Dustin brought so many snacks.
So much fucking food in my house.
We have malted milk balls.
Yeah.
The spicy snack mix.
Why are we listing these things?
What's the name of the company? It's his brother's company is why.
I don't remember.
That's okay. I'll make a point of looking and mentioning at some point during this part of the coverage. But he has this great company where they make like seeds and snacks and barbecue sauces.
You can't make a seed, man.
And they roast them.
But unfortunately, they're made from people.
Yeah.
Just great shit.
Right.
And so generous. So much of it. I felt like we were running a food bank.
Yeah. Some would say too generous because I don't know what I'm going to do with a 5-pound bag.
It's too much.
Have you looked up its nutritional breakdown and see if you can substitute meals with snack mix?
The free store food bank.
There's
might be getting some snacks.
Might be some protein in there. It was really great. We watched some found footage film festival stuff and listened to chill-ass music, played with the dogs, threw Frisbee around the yard
you
with
did.
Mark.
There was, athletic feats happening in my yard.
And unfortunately, the Frisbee did not survive the night.
It never does.
It started, it was me and Elise. Oh, I got to remember to get our Frisbee from the neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
Is it still lit up?
Yeah, it's still lit up. And it's... So he probably thought there was a UFO. He may have shot it with a shotgun. But
John has many guns.
So, it started me, Elise and I were tossing Frisbee. Then the next thing.
You tossed it in the middle of the crowd, almost knocked all the drinks over.
Yeah, Freddie. You did, a full-on, frat house party foul.
No, it was a... It was a meet cute for you and me. I threw it at you so that it would... get your attention. I'd be like, hey, did my flying disc land over here by you ladies?
Unfortunately, the Frisbee knocked over a steaming hot cup of coffee on her, and it burned her pretty bad.
It burned her very badly.
Yeah.
So then we're at the ER. No, just kidding. our Frisbee circle, then Joe came into the Frisbee circle, and then Dustin, and then before we knew it, we all had drums, and we were all like, man, society, man.
We did solve some things.
We did.
For
it was
sure.
A good time.
Yeah.
Just magical. And then right around midnight, we all just started dispersing magically at a reasonable hour.
We're all of an age where it's like, let's go get some sleep.
Yeah.
Well, how long did Freddie advocate for them the party to go on?
No. Freddie's at that age now, Andy.
Yeah, I don't have to keep the party going. Although, I was like, well, the fire's still going. I did kind of hint at, like, I might sit down by this fire.
So you're pushy, but not as pushy as you normally are.
Yeah.
I'm passively pushy. I like people to know they have the option. I'm like, I'm going to be over here teetering and tottering around this fire.
I do need to mention, apropos of nothing we were currently talking about, but is the Pickle Punks booth that's a little further down from where we are right now. Like, that means anything to you listening. But they have some really great art.
Yeah.
And really great, like, there's this, like, kitty.
You said Pickle Punks?
Pickle Punks.
Are the actual pickles there?
No.
That's a misnomer then.
Somebody brought us a pickle.
That's true. Ryan did.
Yeah, Ryan, thank you for the pickle. I'm looking forward to eating it. I love those hot pickles.
Remember, it's 7 servings. So.
7 servings.
Of salt. You're saying if I eat all the times I've eaten the entire hot pickle by myself.
Yes. That was 7 servings.
It's Amy and I are discussing it because it says a hot mama pickle because it's spicy. Mama. And there's a lady pickle on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan said, like, oh, the regular pickles are just dudes. I'm like, they're gendering pickles now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, pickles.
I mean, they're just automatically
I guess we
could
get into that. Yeah, but that's.
Anyway.
That's a deep topic, like, and complex, and there's a lot of emotions involved. So I'm going to go
ahead. Pickle bugs down the way.
I say just let pickles self-identify as whatever they want.
That's right.
They have some really great art on, like, prints, and then they have really great art on T-shirts. Mikey B bought a shirt. Anyway, they were like, mention us on your podcast, and I'll listen. So, hey, dude, here we go.
I did it. You did good.
He did try to engage with me on the topic of Joe Rogan, and I said, fuck Joe Rogan, and then it seemed confusing.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you made it awkward, Amy.
I think I did.
Is that a human test?
To say
like Joe Rogan and see how people react.
No, Amy does that whenever anybody brings up anyone. She just says fuck whatever that thing or person was, just as a way
fuck
of connecting.
Mother Teresa.
Yeah, it's her way of reaching out.
Well, that is true. She was a very shady person.
Yeah,
I mean, but does the good she did outweigh the bad she did?
Okay. All the questionable things. Where Mother Teresa made those young actresses watch her masturbate.
Oh my God, Freddie!
Wow, Freddie went a little too far.
Anyhow,
I think Mother Teresa went a little too far.
That's what I've heard.
It's like, I didn't do it. She did.
That's how you define monster. Just kidding. Nothing is real. I don't know what's real anymore. Is this true, what we just said?
What party happened last night? What are you talking about? You weren't. Nobody was there.
This never happened.
Anything else you wanted to add to this at all? Hey, it's Freddie. I'm here with Jeff from World Class Bullshitters.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going good. And I kept saying, I know you. I kept looking over because we're table neighbors here at Whorehound. So then we got to talking, and sure enough, we had met before, and I thought that was just great what you told us about.
So yeah, if you listen to our show, I talk about having these really cool podcast experiences before we had a show. And so, Horror Hound 2012, it was the Days of the Dead. It was a show in 2012.
Yeah.
And I saw you guys. This was a show I'd already listened to. And the experience was just so positive. You're so friendly, so cool. And I was like, I want to create this too. And so, anybody that's part of our community knows we have a lot of fun positivity. And the Night of the Living podcast guys are responsible for some of that. So
it made us so excited to hear that. And I was telling Amy and Andy, because I was like, you want to hear something that'll make you feel really good?
Well, thank you.
So, yeah, it was great. Thanks for telling us that.
It's the truth. It's cool when you meet the people you like and they're really cool, too. It kind of, I don't know, it adds an extra sense of like, I made a good choice. And
then,
so you're extra excited when the show has a new success or a big guest or something like that. So I wish more experiences were just like that in general in life, but when they are that awesome, I do just want to tell people and share that with them so they know, like, hey.
And you probably know that you guys have had visitors all weekend.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You get that back tenfold when you build these relationships.
Oh, yeah.
It's so great. I think it's the best thing about, like, the whole new media across the board is just, it's like the last place where you can go through social media, but somehow still get that real connection with somebody.
Exactly. And that's what I love. I know it sounds weird because we're on YouTube, but there's a personal touch you can still get online. And then when you see the people, it just, I don't know, it all clicks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have the subscribers, you see the numbers, but when you meet these people, you realize that each one of those is a person. They have a story. They have an experience. We were at a fan meetup not too long ago, and all these people kept coming up to us, telling us how they found us. And it's always fun. I mean, that guy over there, Adam, his dog stepped on an iPad, and it happened to be one of the recommended videos, and that's how he found us. And it built this community, and now he's our super fan. And
that's,
you know,
so great.
They take charge to help us out. It's cool. You know, the new media, as you call it, which we're going to start using because it's awesome, but it's not, you know, built with an advertising company. It's built from good experiences with people, then the fans want to help, and then they help it grow, and word of mouth, and there it goes. And that's, I don't know, that's a currency that has more value than you realize, most people realize.
And I know, like, do people ever accidentally find you because they think they're clicking on a Dwayne Johnson video?
I'm never on camera. And the funny thing is, it's because I had a messy office and I didn't want to clean it up. So I knew everyone would be like, hey, what's that in the background? Or what's this? What's that? And I was like, I have things to say and I want people to pay attention. But I've moved across the country and I'm going to eventually do camera stuff. So maybe that'll help. I don't know. I'll get a haircut closer to his old one.
Yeah.
These, I don't want to go bald like he is, but you know.
Because I think that's the first time we, I think we probably even talked about this the first time we met. Because I started kind of, memory kind of started coming back to me a little bit. Because you really, really look like Dwayne Johnson. It's crazy.
Well, it's cool. I'm a huge fan of The Rock, you know, the wrestler back in the day. As a kid, I was like, oh man, this is the coolest thing ever. And I was in the fifth grade, and everybody was into Pokemon. And I found him, and I was like, Pokemon's cool, but this is so much, I don't know, it wasn't real, but you thought it was more realistic than a cartoon. But it's neat. It's cool to be compared because I'm a fan. It's
Nice. Yeah. I think that of all people to be compared to, it's like you either want like Tom Hanks or The Rock.
It helps with girls.
Yeah, so. Yeah, no doubt. So did you do the panel, the wrestling panel?
I did not, but I did have a hangout session with the Godfather personally last night. It was awesome. So my friend came over to the table. She's from out of town. She listens to you guys too. Veronica, if you ever hear this, hello. But she took our business card over and said, these guys are fans and they want to come hang out and party. And so the Godfather's like, that's cool. And so I had a t-shirt that had the same logo as the business card. He remembered it. We went over. We hung out at the patio. He was telling us cool stories and stuff like that. This weekend's been so surreal because, you know, it started out not bad but rough because half of our guys couldn't make it. And people kept canceling. Fans that we had bought stuff for couldn't make it. I was just like, oh, man, who's going to show up? But nothing but great things have happened. And, you know, the Godfather, being a huge wrestling fan like I am, getting to do that and hear all these cool stories, I don't know, man. It just made this a magical weekend.
Yeah, it really is. And I had the same issue. Like, I was talking to Amy. I was like, Friday felt, I was just anxious. Because, you know, well, it's probably a combination of excitement but also worrying what's going to go wrong this weekend.
Yeah.
So then, but once we got settled in, it felt like just right back into the old times, you know. And I think people, whether they're matched or not, have been pretty respectful, like distancing from each other, and everyone's been very kind to each other. It's a great crowd. I love these people.
Cincinnati's a great, I don't want to call it a market because I don't want to, you know, dehumanize, but it's just a great area in general. You got the tri-state, you got people from all different classes, all different walks of life. And, you know, they love horror and pop culture. And these conventions are better than the comic conventions because there's a little more of an edge to horror.
Yeah.
But it's still a family setting. So it's just, I don't know, a wider berth of, I don't know, fun. You can, you know, kids here are into Freddy Krueger and Michael Myers. You know, kids at other shows might not. And you might have to, oh, you can't show blood or you can't do this. The cosplay here can be more creative.
It's unlimited.
I love these shows, especially Horror Hound.
Yeah, I'm so happy for Nathan and Jessica because I know this is mostly a labor of love for them. And they just built like an amazing community. So great people right over here by us, actually. I see both of them right now. I'm waving at Jessica.
I'm just happy they're local. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, I'm not the biggest hometown guy, and now that I've moved away, I guess I take more pride in it, but it's just nice that something so big is from, you know, right down the street from me, and
yeah,
we get the biggest celebrities and the biggest panels and all this stuff, so.
Yeah, that's awesome, and now, but now you're out in the thick of it, right?
Out in Los Angeles, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
It's weird, because I don't see myself as, like, recognizable, but, like, I moved out there, and right away people were, like, at the grocery store, they recognized our voice and stuff like that. And it's cool because, like, it's the same grocery store that Amber Rose shops at and, like, other celebrities. Yeah. I'm like, oh, no. It was cool. It's not like,
yeah.
I've never in a million years wanted any of this stuff because I just wanted to do comics and everybody to know the name and whatever I drew.
Yeah.
But now the voice and stuff and it just keeps picking up. So I love it. I'm thankful for it.
Yeah. I remember the first time someone recognized our voices at a Horror Hound was I think it might have been Pittsburgh way back, but, like, we're friends with those people. Like, they've been to our house. We've been out to, like, we became friends with them. They just came up and said, hey, I know that voice. I'm like, what? People are listening. And you really, that's when you're like, that first moment, that's totally validating that you're like, you're not just doing it for yourself at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh, shit. Yes, real people, man.
It's so nice. And it's not an ego thing, but it's so cool to hear how they listen to you. It's like, I used to do a morning show, and everyone's like, I listen to that every day on the way to work, at work, with my coffee. Like, it built this, like, little cult community, and the only reason I had to stop is because YouTube penalizes you if you only live stream and you don't do enough live videos, or regular videos. And so I was up every morning. It started at 7 a.m. Eastern. Great. The audience kept growing. It was steady financially, but YouTube just didn't like it. And I had aspirations of a silver play button and all kinds of stuff, and so sadly, I had to do that. But I want to bring it back in a different fashion, but you just, you know, that kind of stuff.
I'm so bad at, like, I know so little about YouTube in particular, because we've always just been kind of audio, because I hate being on camera most of the time. I'll do it if it's something, you know, that somebody, it means something for somebody, but, like, I just like the safety of the imaginary kind of realm, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But I almost forgot where I was going with this.
That happens to me all the time. YouTube,
yeah. So YouTube to me is a bit of a mystery. And who is like we just watched that Onision documentary series.
I haven't heard of that.
So are you you know who the YouTuber Onision is? Okay, so that makes me feel a lot better. Because I'm like, who is this guy? Why is this such a huge thing? I don't understand. I felt like an old man.
I was like, okay, it was a music documentary or something. No big deal.
Right. And it turns out this guy's like this horrible, like, human trafficker, basically. Oh. But he was just a YouTube personality, you know. But he had this huge following. And it's amazing that we can choose our media down to such a minute, like, you get a very specific level of specificity, you know, that you want.
Yeah.
So, like, when people come to you, like, what is world-class bullshitting, like a typical episode of world-class bullshitting?
Well, we're a pop culture show, so the intro is Welcome to World-Class Bullshitters, the epitome of pop culture, and we just cover anything entertainment, and that can be joking coverage, it can be hard-hitting, you know, in quotation, serious coverage, I don't know, let's say an actor gets embroiled in something ethical, and it's a hot topic, and we'll talk about it and take, you know, try to dig deeper, and we're lucky because that's kind of what the audience had been looking for, and we came out at the right time because I started in 2015. So if anybody's a Back to the Future fan, we started on October 21st, 2015, which so happens to be my birthday as well.
Oh,
so I was
really?
Like, Back to the Future Day, my birthday, let's start this show. And we were coming out in an era where it was a lot of everything was just like, yeah, go see the movie, go do this. Everything felt like a commercial. And then we were like, let's just talk about it in a way we feel about it. We don't have a big audience. We don't have any responsibilities. YouTube was a lot more free back then in terms of what you could say. So we just kind of gave what was a refreshing take to many people. And then that's kind of how we went to form what we are now. So we're like, I guess a good way to describe it is like we're Monty Python and Animal House, because we're like, we can get into the higher art or the real, you know, ethical stuff, but we can also take it as funny and bro-y as we want it to be. I mean, you know, we have buttons and funny stuff and running jokes. It's evolved into its own thing. It used to be a show about entertainment, and now it's become an entertainment show, if that
makes
sense.
Yeah, absolutely, because I think that's the organic, like, that's the trajectory of anyone who's being honest. because I think, like, once you put honesty on tape, you're going to experience thoughtful conversation. You're going to laugh. You're going to get upset sometimes. And then people, they're like, if you're framing all your pop culture conversations with that level of honesty, you know, it's a much deeper kind of entertainment for people. So then it becomes about, you know, it's that old ad in journalism. It used to be, don't ever make it about yourself. Whereas, like, where we probably both started, when we started this show, it was meant to be a serious discussion of horror originals and remakes, and that lasted like one episode and barely that. And you just end up, it becomes a living thing that is its own thing that's outside of you, and it's just that combination of your people, you know. So how many are you?
I'm glad you asked that, because I was going to bring this up. So we started out with 8 guys on the show at once, and we never really talked over each other. People figured it out organically, because I started a show with all friends. Everybody was a personal friend of mine, somebody met, this, that, and the other. And we had the communication down, so we knew how to interact. But what happened is life caught up, people couldn't make it. It was, you know, we recorded on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. Sometimes it got late into the night. But long story short, we're now 4 guys. There's myself, I'm Jeff. Then there's Dion, he's been there since the very first episode. Our friend Nick, who is right next to me over here, has been since the 3rd episode. And then Kendo is our newest guy, our newest bullshitter, but he's been around since 2017, but I don't remember the episode number. Sorry, Kendo. But we're just, you know, the 4 of us, we're like the Ghostbusters. We're just this, like, close-knit group of guys who, I don't know, we complement each other very well. We used to make this joke. We were like a pop culture megazord, you know. This guy's the head, this guy's the arm, this guy's this guy's that. And we all just, you know, I don't know, we just formed this unified voice on the show. Also, you know, simultaneously all having these, like, unique takes on stuff. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, we all had the same idea and goal, but we each had a different way of getting there on the show, if that made sense.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, it's kind of, we have the same thing. Our tastes run so counter. We think we figured, and we also are a foursome, we think we figured each other out, and then there'll be an episode where one of us surprises the other one. Like, they're, like, Kelly, what was it? Kelly doesn't like Journey, I knew that. But, like, there's other things, like, I'll see, like, a folk horror movie that I'm like, Dick Kelly would love this, and then he's like, I hate that piece of shit, you know? So we keep each other on our toes, too. I think that, I totally get that, and you need that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise you just become, like, this, like, jellyfish thinking brain thing. An echo chamber. I went real weird with it right out of the gate instead of just going echo chamber, which is the... is a succinct way to make that point.
I have, for the last year, I guess because of the, you know, COVID stuff, I have been going the weird jellyfish route for everything, because I'm inside all the time, and I think these things, and it was just my girlfriend and I locked up the whole time, and now I've actually gotten back to being more succinct, so don't worry. Like, I was weeks ago, honestly, since I got back from my summer vacation, things have gotten, like, back on track. My brain is, you know, normal again, or as normal as it can be.
And you started as an illustrator, right? Is this right?
Correct. So when we interacted, I hadn't started my business yet, but in 2014, I started working at these shows as an artist. I would do prints, some original stuff, but what it was is I came to these shows and I saw a lot of horror art, but there was a lot of rough edges. And what I meant is not bad art, just unrefined ideas or things like that. So one time, and this is honestly why I started my business, I saw a print of Michael Myers holding his knife with a girl in a bikini on his leg, like Ash from Evil Dead, but in a bedroom and in a different pose. And I thought, this makes no sense on any level. I will never, ever forget this. And so from that moment on, I thought, I could do this. I could make money. I was in college. I always wanted to be a comic book artist. I had done one job. It was cool. It paid a little bit. But I thought, all right, I could do these conventions. I can hone my skills. And it worked. It was I met Nick at the show, actually. My first show is how I found Nick. We were friends for a year, and then we started the show together. Well, 3rd episode, essentially. So, started as an artist. Loved it. I got to meet some really cool celebrities because of it. The wrestler Chyna. I was the last fan to meet her before she passed away. It was at this show. I gave her a piece of art. It was neat. And then I was on her YouTube channel. And then when she died, I didn't even find out from the regular mainstream news. I found out, like, their people contacted me to tell her she had passed away. I was like, what?
Oh,
it was just like this weird, like connection that I made right at the end, but it was at a horror show. So it's always like, oh, Horror Hound has brought some really, you know, cool things to me. And now it is what it is this way, and it's even better.
Yeah, yeah. Is this the first time you've had a table?
Oh, no. I have done, as world-class bullshitters, we've had a table every year since 2018. But I've done Horror Hound, I think I only missed 2017, and I started in 2014. So, you know, a good run.
It scares my brain. Like, my brain is freaking me out lately, because then that means I've probably been, you know, around your banner even before.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing sinks in with me anymore.
Don't worry. stuff doesn't sink in with me, but I moved to California, so you can guess why certain things don't sink in with me. But, yeah, we've interacted. I've talked to you guys before. Always just super professional, always super nice. I'm glad we actually get to talk like this now. Because, you know, folks, that's the whole message of this story. Like, if you have these lucky opportunities like we do, just be cool and everything will work. It's not even like trying to, you know, be a cautionary tale. It's just like, I honestly end every show with be excellent to each other. I love Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Because, and every video ends with, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, always be excellent to each other.
Yeah.
And I just, that's the message we want to put out, because we do not kiss ass when we talk about entertainment. It's like, I didn't like this movie for this reason. And it's story or... it's all what we feel is valid. We don't say we don't like this movie because the actress is too short, or we don't say that kind of, you know, those flippant things. But because we don't get on the hype train, you know, you get called a hater or this or that. And I go, no, I'm just a fan that's dissatisfied, or I'm just a critic that didn't like what I was, you know, given to watch. But I always then show how positive we can be about literally everything else, because just because we don't like something doesn't mean we're, you know, misanthropes. Doesn't
right.
mean we're, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge before he woke up type of thing. So,
And I love this comic that you've created. And I have a copy that you gave me, but I'm not sure where I put it.
Hand me another book. Here, I got you one right here.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I actually think they put it under the table. Sorry about that.
No problem.
But Stealing Solo, this speaks to, like, the sequels, the Star Wars, the notorious Star Wars sequels, where my friend Dave Scarecrow, and who we do the Night of the Comic show with, he's like you. He hates them, but you've channeled it
into this book, yes.
Yeah, which I need to make sure he gets a copy of this. So this is very much his view, I think, to a T. But you created your crew as comic book characters, and you nailed each and every one of them.
And I, to anyone out there that knows our show, read this book and tell me how I captured the voices, because, true story, Kendo, guy on the show, his best friend, says, did you write your own dialogue? And he goes, no, I didn't write anything. He goes, it sounds just like you. I sold a book to a listener this weekend. Same question. No, I wrote it. Oh, you got the guy's voices just down. So, cool, I'm glad you saw it and I got their likenesses down. And if you actually listen to the show or a fan, then you'll know I got their voices down. Stealing Solo is my response to The Force Awakens. I know the general cool thing on the internet is, oh, The Last Jedi comes out and ruins Star Wars. I felt like I was on an island of one in 2015. I watched that movie. Every time something stupid happened, every rehash, every dumb line, every moment that contradicted the original Star Wars, any rehashed image moment, like piece of imagery, excuse me, like anything, my eyes were rolling in the back of my head. It hurt so much. And then the part that killed me, I look over at everyone, smiling faces. I'm like, do you not see it? Am I the only? I felt like Rowdy Piper, the sunglasses on. I see obey, consume, nostalgia, rinse, repeat on the screen, and damn it, they're just smiling. Hell, if I ever retell Stealing Solo, I'm going to put that new opening on.
I was one of those smiling faces, but I'm one of those guys that I'm just happy to have Star Wars. I'm like, thank you for the Star Wars. May I have another? You know,
And you know what? There is nothing wrong with that. I tell everybody, if you're having a good time, that's what matters, because I'm doing this and I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
So you know what? You do you, I'll do me.
And you can appreciate this. I mean, like, I think some people get so defensive about that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're like, well, you're saying that because I like The Last Jedi, I'm dumb, but I'm like, I think it's hilarious that your approach to telling your story and the outrage.
Because
it's so great.
Our channel was, it still is, the, you know, we started this thing, the fandom, and it's built up around our channel. You know, we're the forefront of that, the very first one. And I've been dealing with the people that, you know, want to tell me I'm this and that based on a movie, and it's like, whatever. We're just having fun at this stupid movie's expense. I mean, this was, you know, a lot of fun to make. And I'll tell you actually how the comic started was a joke on the podcast. I'll never forget. I can even see it. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I'm sitting at my desk looking out the window, and the idea sparks, what if we kidnapped Harrison Ford and remade Star Wars in our basement? And so, have you ever had a good joke, and then you keep jumping on, and you're like, yeah, and then you do this, and then you do that. And then from there, the idea was just formed live on air, and we're like, huh. And there was a moment of silence, and I wrote it down. I was like, make this. And so I did. And it was an experience, because we printed the book, got it out there, and then we redid the campaign recently. It was even more successful the second time. It was amazing. It was... It was cool because the community rallied together. We did a new cover with a lot of the other YouTubers in our sphere and raised more money. And now there's trading cards and all kinds of stuff. Like, in the first book, the guys from my podcast and I were the characters. Then in this one, everybody in the community kind of became characters. And it was this neat experience. And now that I've had my say on Star Wars, I have one more parody opinion piece, which we'll call these parody opinion pieces, and it's on Ghostbusters. Now, I don't have issues with the Ghostbusters 2016 because of, you know, making women Ghostbusters. My issue was with how the media treated fans that didn't even have any kind of issues. So I thought, yeah, what do? Well, you make fun of this I don't know how to say this, political correctness in pop culture, because it's never anyone's intention to be mean-spirited. Jokes are jokes, you know? You watch some of these old comedies and you're like, okay, fine. This was just a great joke. And sometimes you look back at, like, Ghostbusters, people are like, you can't make this today. And we're like, why? This, that. A good joke's a good joke. So, basically, we just want to lampoon everything. So we're going to do a comic called Wokebusters, and that'll be out. I'm going to start the crowdfunder in November for that one. And that's, you know, I have two parody comics, and then I have a lot of original ideas. I'm a big Twilight Zone fan.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I love to do, in the back of this, there's these anthology stories. And so I'm inspired by Tales from the Crypt and all the old EC books and the work of Rod Serling and Buck Houghton and all those guys.
Yeah.
And down the road, after I can get there, I would love that to be my full-time gig. Quarterly anthology books, dark macabre stories, very much in line with, like, because that's just what speaks to me. I think The Twilight Zone is the greatest show ever made.
Yeah, I agree with you, man.
It's science fiction and cool. It's because it has something to say about humanity in a way that I wish we still could. Because really, with my other comic coming out, I feel like a lot of the fight has been completed. And we were in a really good place, and people complain online for stuff that's not even a real issue anymore. And I look at the Twilight Zone as just something that, when there was a fight to be had, when there were challenges, when there were important things to say, and when you couldn't say them, and you had the bravery to, you know, wrap them up in allegory, I think a show like that's so impactful and important. And I would love to, you know, I'm not saying I'm ever going to be in that category, but I'd love to at least give a take or create things in that vein and make these people think. Because I think that's the greatest thing in entertainment, emotion and thinking.
And it's really tough. I think the nature of the internet and us all being globally interconnected with different backgrounds and cultures, it makes it so tricky to, like, when we were kids, whatever we got was what was broadcast on TV, you know, and everybody saw the same thing. We all kind of thought the same way and to a certain extent. And that was like our pop culture. But now with the internet, that's just not going to happen. So you have to walk this fine line of this awareness of everyone's feelings and how they interpret things. And that's it can feel like a tightrope at times, just because you want to be... You want to be a responsible person, you know, and do things the right way. So it is tricky, but I agree with you. Some of the challenge has come out of entertainment.
Oh, yeah.
Did you
watch Batman the Animated Series as a kid?
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to show Robin's parents dying on screen, but they found a really awesome way for the trapeze to go out with a silhouette.
Yeah.
And then the trapeze comes back with no person and no silhouette of a person, and it implies that they fell. and I saw that as a kid, and I remember that 25, almost 30 years later, I enjoy the challenge. See, I agree that when you open up with the internet, you find out things are different, but you also find out, too, when you open up things with the internet, that the what is still broadcast today still doesn't appeal to as many people. It's still as limited and narrow and advertising focused. That's really what it all is. It's interesting being where I am now, knowing some newer people, because it's not about ideology, it's about money. It's all this stuff comes from the marketing departments. It's not about who's going what here and doing this and knowing that, but it's honestly marketing department. And I've heard this directly from somebody that I know is a trustworthy source that I would put you know bank on. And that's why we have the following we do, and it continues to grow no matter what, because we're not political. We don't cover, you know, you'll never listen to our show. You'll never know where we land. You can guess. You can try to guess. It could be fun, but it's never what it's about.
Right.
You know, there are some people that we've worked with that have branched off into that, and it's become about politics, and it's become this, and it's become that. It's also become unfun. Yeah. And I can't tell you how many people have come to me and say, because you guys have remained right in the middle and had fun at all everything's expense and never really considered anything, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say off topic, but, you know, we just, if it was funny, it was funny, you know?
Right, right. And, no sacred cows.
And people from every side have come to us and, like, we love your show. We love what you do. And I think that's really the secret in today. It's not about having the right idea. It's about being yourself and a good person. I really think, you know, there's a lot to that.
We kind of run a little opposite. We wear our hearts on our sleeves. So, like, for us, because we did break that fourth wall at one point, we were like, okay, we're going to go ahead and just talk about everything. I get that because, you know, our audience actually shrank the more we would talk about politics. And I get it. People don't want to hear it when they want to hear about horror movies. I totally understand that. Or you know, any pop culture, because they want to... You want to feel welcome regardless. So, like, that's been, like, I think that's something we've tried to edge towards now in that, like, kind of healing moment part of what we're going through. And be like, okay, how do you rebuild those connections with people after you've maybe turned them off?
You know what? That's an excellent question. There's a horror show, I won't say, but they have done that with me, and that's a great question. I'm trying to give you an answer, somebody, and it's not you guys. So don't.
Sure.
It's not it's not like Finley Vale Allegory. Like, oh, it's the guy next to you. No. I actually think you're in a good place to do that. Horror is just as mainstream as ever.
Yeah.
Think of yourselves as, well, we cover all horror, and horror is always good. You know, just like, put yourself back out there and in the mindset that there's always going to be new people. I mean, you guys have a great following, great community. You guys have had people at your table all weekend, people bringing you gifts and stuff like that. So clearly you have something that works, and people, you know, like I said, I remember you guys for the positivity in person for so much, and it, you know, inspired us. So,
well, again, that meant the world to me to hear that. I mean, honestly, that touched me right here.
Well, so. It was at the right time, you know, just like, I don't know. I was still in school. I wasn't impressionable or young or anything like that. I think we're close to the same age. I'm 32, going on 33 soon. So
I'm 43.
Okay, well, not even that. Don't worry, my buddy, who's at the convention, Joel. We hung out for years. I didn't realize he was now 52. I didn't realize our age was that much of a difference.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter to me. But, like, no, I don't know. Just do what you want to do. You know, your audience trusts you.
Yeah.
We've had some. We've been around controversy, but never in it, because we just kind of always stay out. And your audience is loyal and will stay with you. I mean, I wouldn't even.
And I, from a personal, like from the personal side of it, my attitude toward it is, I'm glad the people who found us, and that they're part of our lives. Whereas, like, as the audience, like, grows only in one direction. You know what I mean? Like, very a specific kind of person. But the truth of it is, we do have people who are politically all over, and sometimes they get shy about even, like, I'm like, it's okay, you know, we may bust your balls, but that doesn't mean we don't care about you, you know.
I could tell you, if I wanted to get political, I could get tons of super chat money and all kinds of stuff from politics and get people riled up. I don't want to, because I actually know from a lot of experience people that have gone political, and they'll grow a channel, but they'll either lose money or they'll never be monetized, and they'll get views for a while, and then it'll stop.
And how can you be happy, too? I mean, like, if I had to get up and toe some sort of party line every day.
Because a lot of it's shortcuts in many ways. Because it's like, oh, I believe this. I'll just say what I believe, and enough people will find me. And then once you've kind of tapped that, then you go and you're like, oh, shit, how do I keep these people riled up while growing?
Yeah.
And so it's funny with my channel, we started out talking a lot of Star Wars. Well, we started out talking stuff we knew. You know, in the beginning, we're doing 90s shows and James Bond movies and this and that. But with Star Wars, after that movie came out, The Force Awakens, you can actually go back and find our review of it that I recorded minutes, like, after seeing the movie. I'm just like, I just saw the new Star Wars movie, and I am emotionally gutted. That's what I said on the show. And it just, you could just hear how deflated I was and all of that. And I don't know.
Are you reliving it right now? Yeah, the trauma?
And you laugh, but, like, everybody loves stuff. You know, we're at a horror show. My favorite horror movie is Halloween. Yeah. I wasn't in love with Halloween 2018 because I thought it was very similar to The Force Awakens in terms of retelling the old Halloween story.
Yeah.
And if I could just take a quick second, the number one problem with most of the Halloween movies outside of the originals is once Donald Pleasance died, it doesn't work because it without the Dr. Loomis, you know, man versus beast of Michael Myers dynamic, you don't have a Halloween anymore. And trying to introduce this new doctor and all these things kills it. Just because it's Jamie Lee Curtis and a guy in a white mask doesn't mean it's really Halloween. Right. You could even have John Carpenter come back. It wouldn't be it.
You could sign. He's signing a poster right now. This poster is so badass. It's Freddy versus Jason in the style of retro, like, boxing
ads. Thank you very much.
Or boxing posters.
By the way, it's 24 by 36.
So great.
Are you looking for a frame or anything like
it's
that?
It's 24 by 36. You heard it here.
Thank you.
It is a killer poster.
That was my very first piece of art. So what I wanted to do in college was, when I would say it in school, because I actually got an LLC and everything, I would say we are copyright acquisition, whatever, because my cousin and I were going to try to be like Mondo, where you get a license and produce a poster. And so we got our LLC and all that stuff, and he just didn't really follow through with certain things. So I was like, well, kind of borrowed money from my grandma to start this poster business. And so I bought some stock, and that poster was one of the first things I ever got printed. And I brought it to the show, and it right away was a success. It, you know, it covered itself in its first show, and I just had it for years. It's only got it done once. I'm finishing out the stock because I had it in my car. Like, I didn't bring it to the show to try to make money. It's, oh, hey, there's my World Quest Bullshitters banner. There's my business cards. Perfect. Oh, there's something to put them on. Ooh, what's this? And there we go.
I was wondering when I was first looking, I thought that was your art, but and it's fantastic.
Well, thank you. If you guys want to take one, please, I'll give you guys each one. Of course,
Yeah.
But I just like that people have it. I think it was cool. I want to do, after this show and having people be like so responsive to it, next time I work Horror Hound, I think I'm going to have a nice little spread of prints, like horror related stuff, because where I was as an artist then versus now, plus being in the comics community, I know colorists, professional colorists, stuff like that, so I can, you know, present myself in a way I wasn't able to at Horror Hound, and people, you know, really respond to this stuff. So.
It is so great. Jeff Hicks of World Class Bullshitters and the author of Stealing Solo, A Captain's Parody. And you nailed, again, also, you nailed Harrison Ford. Like,
thank you.
Like, that's so close that I feel like you probably were like,
Well, I did all of my research.
Yeah.
And I have a lawyer.
Yeah, like, good.
It was funny, too, because he found me.
Yeah.
And it was like after I had already announced this stuff, and I'm like, is this it? Are they coming? But no. Parody, you're protected under parody with the First Amendment.
Yeah.
And basically, as long as it doesn't impede their, if they can prove in court that it doesn't impede, or it impedes their earning potential,
sure,
then parody is whatever. But it's him.
Yeah.
It's parody. And it's like, the thing is, legally, it's like Mad Magazine. Because they don't ask Mad Magazine, doesn't call up every person, hey, can we make fun of you? Can we make fun of you? No.
Yeah.
It's just legally like Mad Magazine. And that's how I operated with it. And so, you know.
It's so good.
Thank you. That was my number one thing. I just wanted to make this look good because I've done other comics and I was proud of them. I was paid professionally to do them. But this was the first one that I knew 100% was going to see the light of day, because I had reached a point as a YouTuber that this was a crowdfunded project. This wasn't me with an idea trying to raise, you know, like, please, can you help me? It was, I got this big following on YouTube. Hey, guys, I got an idea, and, you know, thousands of people backed it. And then did it again and that. So it's kind of like I'm lucky I was able to start from there.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I am very aware of. Like, I was lucky that I got to start from this point. But, you know, starting out in the beginning, I also think is very good, too. And looking back, it kind of adds to the fun, not to, you know, I'm not trying to conflate my ego, or, you know, inflate my ego more, but it's just like, it's fun to go on the journey, because it's like, you got the experience interacting in the past and this and the poster, like, it adds, like, the journey is way more fun than people realize.
Yeah, and that's, it's a cliche, but it's a true cliche that when you look back on it, when you're done with something that big, all you feel is sad. But when you're doing it, you realize, you're like, oh, it was never about the thing at the end of the journey. Like, it I love that cliche, but I'm a sentimental stupid guy, you know.
You know what, though? It's good, because I think at heart a lot of people are, and especially in today's climate, it's refreshing to hear that, because a lot of people are going to keep the armor up because the world's extra rough right now.
Yeah.
So it's just like, ah. And when they hear it, that's what the audience responds to. Like, we both have followings, so we definitely, you know what the people listen to. But, like, when it comes to the positivity, that's why there are people here at our table, like, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, I met all through the show. I did not know them before our show, and now they're lifelong friends.
Yeah.
And we just promote that vibe, man.
Like, yeah. People want to help each other. You need each other.
Yes.
So never let your, if you do something like this, it's important, yeah, that you never let your ego turn you into not just a fan.
Let me tell you something, how perception changes things for people. I live in Southern California, where they always tell you, it's this and it's that on the news, right?
Yeah.
Not in my neighborhood. It's quiet. Yeah. It's calm.
I love it there.
Yeah, I walk down the street to the store. There's traffic, but it's not like you think. Like, I live in this weird slice of, like, normalcy. And then when, you know, you get on the highway, it is crazy and stuff. But, like, I live there with my girlfriend, and, you know, the expenses aren't as crazy as people think, you know. Yeah, your apartment is, but when you split it, it's cool. But, like, everything else is comparable in price, like food. And so it's weird that everyone has this perception, but when you're there, it's a little different. It's not the greatest place in the world. Politically, it's garbage. And, you know, and it's like, as somebody that just moved there a couple years ago, I see how – I called 911 once because a guy had gotten hurt. I saw somebody fall, and he was bleeding everywhere.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I got put on hold to 911, and the call dropped. I had a call again, and then they called me back. Like, I've never been somewhere where the 911 system isn't, hey, it's an emergency, we're going to come. And this is before the pandemic.
Oh, my
God.
So
it's like, what is it? It is bizarro land in certain ways, but.
Yeah. It's nice. For me, I'm so simple. I get there, it's the weather. Just, I fall in love with the weather immediately, and I'm like, all right, it's not too humid. It's just the right amount of warm.
It has been kind to me. I've been able to lose weight because of living out there. Like, before, being outside in Cincinnati, you melt because of the humidity.
Yeah.
You go there, I was like, oh, I'll walk to the store. Oh, I didn't really sweat. I just keep walking before you know it. I'm an outdoorsy kind of guy. So.
That's awesome. Well, man, this was great to sit and really, really talk.
It was. We should get together on a live stream. We should cross-promote.
Yeah.
We'll talk off air and we'll make something happen, because Nick is a horror film director. He's worked on stuff. Was it Mother News Presents? It was a something Nightmare, Mother News Presents. And then he's done Frankenthug. And the Mother News film, I'm in, so I'm going to promote that one. It was funny. We shot that at the end of 2019, and he took it to a horror convention festival this year, and it won one prize for something. And so, like, he's just doing it. Like, he's really out there making horror.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
It's exciting. So we'd love to get everyone together and just have, like, a really, maybe pick a movie and all have, like, a great conversation, or, you know, whatever. You know, play some games or something. Really,
that'd,
you know,
be fun. Yeah.
Cross streams, as they like to say.
All right, we'll leave it at crossing streams, because it sounds kind of dirty.
That was really loud.
Yeah.
Hi, Jigsaw. Jigsaw just rolled by on his tricycle.
I had to turn my headset up in the motherfucking headphone.
All right, everybody. This is our wrap-up for our Horror Hound Week in 2021. the masked one.
Mm-hmm.
The one we wore masks at.
Possibly our last show.
Nobody
God
knows.
Forbid we do something happens.
Oh dear God, Andy. Why do you do that?
Because that's the way the world is now, Amy.
Oh,
you're so dark. You're so dark. I think it's sexy. Mm-hmm.
So before we end this, I want to say, when I was talking about the pickle punks earlier, it's pickled punks. Pickled punk. Pickled.
The plural, though.
Is it punk or punks?
Doesn't matter. Google it.
But what if you end up at pickled punk instead of pickled punks?
What if you end up at pickled spunk?
Mm. Ooh, spunk.
Is this the punk in a big jar with brine?
You're being a real punk right now.
You pickled a punk.
Pickled spunk.
Mm. Anyway.
You pickled them in spunk?
I did.
Ugh. It's the only way to fly.
Have we also said how adorable Emily and Madeline are?
Yes, I think.
I hope we did.
Well,
got to meet Emily.
We've run into a lot of young people that are interested in this show. I'm like, oh. Yeah.
No, it's good.
No, it just makes me feel old because, like,
they're going to respect their elders because they're going to get they're watching us age.
Yeah, because we were talking to this girl on Friday, and she was like, how long you guys been on? And I was like, oh, about 15 years. And I was like, you were probably 3 years old when we started. And she's like, that's exactly right.
Yes, and I know we've already told this story on a previous coverage, so Andy is old man branding it.
Mm, yeah.
But, like, I feel Emily and Madeline are super young,
they
too.
Get it. They are very young, but adorable. They were doing great Ghostbusters cosplay.
And she had the first day, she was the hall monitor from the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen anybody do that.
Yeah.
Thought it was really cool.
No, they're wonderfully creative and very sweet gals.
Ooh,
marshmallow earrings.
Yep. Because they puff marshmallow man.
Gotta stay puffed.
Man. So,
yeah.
You know, we did this.
And I was only crop dusted once this whole weekend.
I was crop dusted a couple of times.
Yeah. I mean, it was today, too.
Well, I was crop
dusted.
Through the
mask, I could smell it, guys.
Yeah, I was crop dusted.
Masks don't
and
work.
I didn't want to say anything because when I was crop dusted, it was just me and Amy and two of our friends. I'm like, I didn't want to bring anybody up and shame them. It could have been one of you guys.
It could have been. What if it's just the smell that's oozing out of one of us?
So a man is walking by right now, and he's wearing a shirt that says, wear a mask, and it's got Michael Myers on it.
But he doesn't have a mask
but
on.
He's not wearing a mask on his face, even though they ask people to do so. Hey, it takes all kinds.
Ours are temporarily off for the recording. They go right back on immediately.
And again, we're vaxxed. They had a vaccine clinic outside yesterday, so you could go get vaxxed.
Really?
Here. Yep.
Oh.
It was right next to Butch Patrick outside.
I could have jumped in and got my booster.
That's true. You could have.
Are you ready? Are you at that point? You can get your booster?
Technically, they should just be shooting them out and blow darts in the crowd.
Yeah. Just hose
you
us down with it.
You get a
put it in the beer that everybody's drinking.
Mmm. Medicine's what goes in your mouth.
I think what I have learned is that it's not necessarily the celebrities that are here for people.
Right.
In fact, I think that's a very small amount of it. I think it's more about being around people that are like-minded. And it was nice to be around these people again after a couple of years away.
And there's always those people who you have been in the room with over and over again. You never really got to know. And I finally got to really speak to Jeff over here, Jeff Hicks from World Class Bullshitters. And we really got to do some world class bullshitting.
I think you did.
That's the segment that just played. It was like we talked for 40 minutes. Felt like it just flew right by.
I was standing up,
you.
So it didn't feel that way.
Yeah, for me, it flew right by. You had the opportunity to sit.
Well, Freddie.
But we wanted to be safe.
Well,
put some distance.
Freddie. Morris. Okay, so we did it. Do we feel good? Like, hey, we'll let you know if we got the Delta variant. Maybe we created a whole new one. It's like the spooky variant. Oh, wow.
Is that the sound effect for the Delta variant?
Yep.
Yeah, it's the sickness. We're going to... I think we it was a pretty responsible weekend all around.
We tried.
And thank you for everybody who came and dropped things off, like little gifts for us. It was very sweet. And we're going to put those to use.
Oh, yeah. I've already eaten a lot of it.
Most of it's food. I mean, they're not gross. It's not gross for
me. They know their audience.
When you say to put it to use.
In my mouth.
Right.
Food-wise.
Okay,
by
good.
Chewing it.
Yes.
And swallowing it. And converting it to energy.
No unsanctioned use of foods. Mm. Donated or otherwise. It's in your contract. Read it again. That's not our song.
That's not the right song.
That's the Night of the Comic song, which hopefully we'll be hearing again soon. And Ryan King, who wrote and recorded that, is here.
It's the reason why we have meat and cheese sitting at the table. Right.
And that's why I played that. It was on purpose.
Sure, yeah, uh-huh.
The drum intro. It wasn't on purpose. I'm a silly fool.
We love you.
Love you.
If he